See this. We didn't get a chance to learn any Hasidus this week. So let's hear a Hasidic take on Esav, Yitzchak's mistake. Since based on the Medrash, the Medrash says that when Yitzchak told Esav, and he told him in stages, take your sword and sharpen it.
My parents heard of him, but they don't know him.
Gives a very long and protracted description of how Esav should hunt. Just tell him, bring me the food. Esav knows what he's doing. Why does Yitzchak have to give him a hunt by numbers, step by step? Take your sword, sharpen it, go out to the field. The matter says that Yitzchak is referring to the four kingdoms that dominate this earth. What in the world would that mean? Why would this be alluding to the four kingdoms that would dominate this earth? The four kingdoms: Babel, Madai, Parsa Madai, Persia, Greece, Yavan, and Rome, and not just Rome, but Western civilization, which was impacted by Rome religiously, Christianity, as well as Western civilization, which emanated from Rome. Why would Yitzchak be referring to these four Malchios, as the Medrash says, when he's talking to Esav? So, for the Shem Yishmuel, Shmuel Bornstein goes back and says, let me tell you something my father said. My father said, the Avram Bornstein, the Avnei Nezer, the Gretel, Yitzchak appreciated Esav's hunting ability. Because of Esav's hunting ability and his aggression and his ability to impose his will on animals, he wanted to choose Esav. Okay, so now it gets interesting. Why would Yitzchak choose Esav because he was such a good hunter? And what does this have to do with the four kingdoms of this earth? So to explain these two ideas, the Shem Yishmuel takes a few steps back. The world was meant to be a pyramid. At the top of that pyramid are human beings, who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the rest of the world is meant to serve man, so that the entire universe is slanted towards serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the universe serves man, and man serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then ultimately the entire universe is geared towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why originally Adam HaRishon had control over nature. I mean, the Drashim would say that there was a harmony between Adam HaRishon and nature. And as you read the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, you see that harmony beginning to become more brittle. When Cain sins, he's afraid that the animals will attack him. Why? Because he's no longer serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's no longer serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pyramid has been broken. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plans of Pru Ravu Mulorz V'Chitshur Gubit Gasayam, which isn't just that human beings should physically impose their will on nature, but that nature should harmoniously cooperate with human beings, because human beings are serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once man starts to fail and malfunction, then there becomes tension between man and nature. And that's why Noach brought such great hope, because Noach finally learned how to plow. Why did they learn how to plow? Because they could finally harness animals and use them to plow. But before, the animals would rebel. They wouldn't allow themselves to be dictated to by human beings. And then, of course, when human beings failed again morally in the Garamabo, you once again have this breakdown. So you have the beginning, and that's why there has to be a bris between human beings and nature after Noach. So you have a 2,000-year period where nature is struggling to find its rhythm. Human beings, if they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll find them, then nature will act harmonious with them. If human beings don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they won't. But the goal is for human beings to control nature so that the entire universe serves Hashem. Yitzchak is trying to restore some of that. Therefore, he wanted a hunter who knew how to impose his will on nature. Esav, because he spent so much time in the forest, Esav was someone who he thought, if he could just channel all that potential, all that talent, and he could once again bring nature into sync with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will by imposing human will on nature, and then hopefully Esav will be a tzaddik and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was trying to start a lineage of hunters, of people that could control nature and then channel all of nature towards the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it wasn't just nature, it was also history. These four kingdoms are not just four random kingdoms that emerge in the world. There are four kingdoms that dominate the world: Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome. They challenge the Jews. We don't face off against second-rate countries. We face off against major countries that provide major moral challenges to humanity. And when we defeat them, we also filter all of their ideas so that the ideas can be absorbed by humanity now that they've been purged of whatever moral flaws they have. So Esav would be someone who not only could command nature, but could also defeat kingdoms that would challenge moral ideas in this world, because he was a hunter. He could also be a warrior. So Yitzchak is telling him, the hunting wasn't important here, this was just a metaphor, he was living out the metaphor. I want you to hunt for this bracha, because I'm going to need your hunting skills. I need your hunting skills in the natural metaphysical world. I need your hunting skills in the historical world. If you're a tzaddik, then this will all come in line. Of course, he didn't realize that Esav wasn't interested in that path in his life. But at least Yitzchak's mistake was a legitimate one. He saw an Esav hunting skill. So you have a little bit of time today, maybe go hunting in the hills of Rishon Lezion, see a little rabbit or something. And then you get Yitzchak's bracha. Okay? Shir will be at 8.